Talk Radio. Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Robert. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Okay. Hi, Adrian.
How are you, Cindy?
Hey, Adrian Chan, my co-host in Australia. I would like to introduce you to Robert Kelly, our speaker for today.
Adrian, how are you?
Oh, I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm doing very well. What part of Australia in?
Sydney, right in the heart of...
Yeah, very nice.
And where are you?
I am on the east coast of the United States. I am in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Lovely. I've never been, but sounds great.
Yeah, it's worked most of my career in New York City, and then when I had a family, it was time to get out of the hustle and bustle, and I moved down to the southeastern part of the United States.
Right, lovely. And you run your own project management consulting business there.
That's right.
Excellent. I think it's a great topic, product management versus project management.
I think just the discussion that has to be had, once people have it and they start to just open their eyes, I don't think it's extremely difficult, but it's one that's, it really just gets cloudy because of assumptions, and then also a little what I call chest bumping, because oftentimes product managers and project managers are vying for who's the leader of this initiative, and if they put that aside and realize they're actually team members, they get a lot further.
Yes, I agree.
Jeff Lash, who is a product manager, had written a post about product management and project management. He's been a previous speaker. Christopher Cummings had done a post a few years back from a software product management point of view, working with project managers.
And there's been lots of discussion on our on the BrainMates LinkedIn group as well. It just, it caused lots of fights.
Yes, it does.
Yes, and I had to actually ring up a project manager in Sydney and say, look, up to discussion. I just don't think project management should be diverse. He was really offended.
Well, you're welcome. Provide those links, Adrian, and I'll add them.
I have to find them. They're very old now.
Yes, a lot of the ones I found were several years old, but I think still relevant. We've not resolved it.
Absolutely.
You might offend some of your listeners.
We're talking about serious issues, but in a relaxed manner.
Yes, absolutely. With a bit of humor. A lot of humor. Really?
Over on the PM chat, it was interesting that one of the gentlemen from Germany, place, I forget where, he always tends to say, a good meeting over at the pub for a beer, and we always end up talking about beer. On clout, he was actually influential on clout about beer.
So it's interesting that you mentioned beer, because we have a running joke that it always comes up about halfway or later. And I noticed in the transcript last week it didn't come up. So thank you for opening up with it, Robert.
Absolutely. We had a lot of Australians join last week. We love beer.
I tried reaching out to two of my colleagues and then someone else that I've met through social media who are in Sydney, and I asked them to join. One is a product program, wears many hats, but works over at Lenovo over there in Sydney, I believe it is.
And is he here full-time?
Yeah, she is. She's there full-time. Yeah, she represents Lenovo in all of their environmental offerings and service offerings.
Oh, fantastic. Well, you tell her to come and see us, because on the 10th of November, we're having our final product talk, or product bash, we call it. It's a party where we bring in speakers. It's a face-to-face thing. Have a few beers, have a few glasses of wine, and just hang out together. I'll send you the link so that you can invite her, because we like to have more product friends.
Sure. You guys are trying to get the numbers so you can come against us project managers. I see.
But we've got a nice little growing community here that we've nurtured over the last 7 years.
Yeah, I've learned a lot from Cindy already. I thank you guys very much. I used Paco Links today.
It's just one page that it holds all the links together. Initially, I was using it just to make it easier for myself, and then decided to make it public.
I think it was pretty good. I was able to... So we don't have the schedule really as full as you folks do with guest speakers, but we're getting there. When we have a guest speaker, say for this coming Friday, it's developing a business case, we would have the speaker join on the pregame show for Friday, and then the Tuesday before, we ask them to provide a guest blog post that we put up there.
Excellent.
So it's kind of like a prep for topic. So that's why that Paco Links is great, because when we recap everything on Monday, we kind of, first, I use it today for the first time, so I did it as kind of a, hey, here's everything. If you missed us last week, here's what happened. And it's all the links of the pregame show, the guest blog, the actual recap of the chat. We do kind of a short recap, and then the full link RSS to the full recap transcript. So it was a great tool. So I was just saying thank you very much.
Great. You're welcome. So you have it set up that you do a pre-chat, free-for-all, and then you do a focus chat with the speaker?
Sure. So we do, our chat is at 12 o'clock on Fridays. From 11:30 to 11:45, do a blog talk radio. It's a fast, rapid 15 minutes focused on what that chat's going to be about at 12 o'clock. So we'll have a guest come in. And we try and ask maybe one or two different questions. It's live. We ask people to listen in live to it. It's 15 minutes out of a power chat, and that's it. Have some fun on it, and it's an opportunity. Whoever's the guest gets to kind of promote themselves a little bit with an elevator pitch. How can they get in touch? All that good stuff. And it's just kind of a fun, quick 15-minute live. We stumble. We have fun. We talk over each other. But people seem to enjoy it, picking up steam.
Excellent.
Jeff's around.
Yay. Is there anything beer cannot do? Right, there's already been spoken about here. This other tool may have told you about Joint IM.
Yes.
Which I like because it keeps chat channels open, and it's the only one that I found that will save the chat, which TweetChat does not.
Yeah. Yeah, I follow along usually with web events, and then and then my co-host, I guess, found, is it Whapper Keeper?
Oh.
When you set up the chat, the hashtag there, you can get your archive there, and you can set up an RSS feed, and people click on that, they can go do it. They could set the time that they want to search it. So if they want to look at, say, the last month's worth of, for us, PM Chat, maybe just the last 24 hours, they can do that, and it'll pull out the transcript.
As a product manager, I look at these tools early on, and then I forget about them.
Yeah.
So. And I actually have a Twapper Keeper set up. Twap event was created by Robert Wanwick, who I learned a lot about Twitter Talk on. He maintains the open source Google Doc Twitter Talk, which is at 537 Twitter chats the last time I looked.
Okay, so I'm asking people to introduce themselves. I will repost where our questions are at. Today we're discussing distinctions between product and project management with Robert Kelly, PMP. There tends to be a lot of debate on the roles and responsibilities of the project manager versus the product manager. In this Twitter talk, we would like to gain a better understanding of how these roles can more effectively work together to bring to market high-quality products. Our speaker, Robert Kelly, has over 11 years of experience in IT service delivery, IT services portfolio development, and enterprise business process change at some of the largest financial services firms and hardware software OEM. He has been a customer-facing contract execution project manager for service delivery, managing teams of over 30 technicians, as well as a business-embedded project management internal enterprise initiative for new product development. The initiatives managed by Robert have been very complex in nature, with teams comprised of more than 12 core members and more than 30 extended members, sitting in over 10 countries and at all levels of the organization, including directors, executive directors, vice presidents, and general management. Robert's blog, Kelly's Contemplation, was named a top 10 finalist in Computer Weekly's 210 Project Management Blog Awards. Congratulations, Robert.
Thank you so much. Great to be here, Cindy, Adrian. Thank you so much for having me. Very excited to talk about this topic here today.
Great. By the way, this is Cindy Solomon. I always forget to introduce myself, and I noticed that Erica Anderson just came into the room. Welcome, Erica. And Jeff Anderson, not a relation. It's also in the room. Welcome, people. So I'm Cindy Solomon. I am across the bay from San Francisco, and San Francisco's first annual Product Camp is coming up this weekend. Product Camp Southern California was this past weekend.
Wow, there's so many. That's fantastic.
Yes. Speaking of which, if you go to our website, Product Management Talk, which is at www.prodmgmttalk.com, and in the navigation you will find product events. There is a map of global product camps all over the world. If you click on the map, you will get the information and directions to each of the camps. In case you are a global hopping product camp attendee.
Wouldn't that be just fantastic?
Jeffrey, yes, there is a audio feed, and I will post that. Thank you for asking. And then I will post the first question. Here we go. We're broadcasting live at Blog Talk Radio. Our first question of the day is, Q1, as a product manager, what do you see the role of a project manager being? Robert, are we assuming a certain size organization that would have both product management and project management departments?
Sure. Well, and I'm not sure necessarily if it is a large organization. So I've worked at what is, I guess, now the number two computer manufacturer prior to my current assignment, which is one of the largest open source providers in the world. And the hardware OEM was 20,000 employees, whereas the software player is only about 3,000 employees. One's a 20-plus billion-dollar organization, and the other just reached the billion. So I think it really has to do with the complexity of the portfolio, the number of products. A smaller organization, maybe that runs lean and still has a rapid deployment of new products or a complex portfolio, may still get good use out of a project manager. But I think you'll usually see the larger organization, more complex organizations that have the need for product managers, project managers, business analysts, and so on.
Okay, so we're really in a startup. Will we see both?
I have not seen the need at the startup level. I have not seen it in the very small business. Maybe that solopreneur and the organization that may only have one or two clients, one or two core products, probably not.
Also, I think in smaller businesses, they will have one or the other. And I think that project management is more widely recognized. Do you find that you have to explain what a project manager is as much as, well, you wouldn't know how often we have to explain what a product manager is?
I don't necessarily have to explain what a project manager is. I find myself correcting perceptions of what a project manager is. A lot of people have what I find more often than not, and probably the biggest reason that I stepped out and started out my own firm was because I just got so frustrated with the implementation or the perceptions of what project management is. People think if you assign a person to something, and then they have project management, right? So-and-so is in charge of it, and they'll manage it. They're my project manager. So I find myself having to really educate. Most people, I think, now project management is really getting mainstream. Everybody seems to be a project manager. Tom Peters, I think, management guru, management expert, I think at one point said everything's a project. So things like that. The accidental project manager is all rise. So not explaining a project manager, it's fixing the perception.
Do you think a product is a project?
Do I think a product is a project?
Project. Yeah, because you said, Tom Peters says, everything is a project.
Yeah.
In which case, is a product a project?
Yeah, I believe if it's a new product, of course, when you introduce a new product into the organization, obviously there's the product aspect, but then there's standing that product up inside the organization. So there's legal terms and conditions in place, operations, accounting, receivables, is that all in place? Shipping and logistics, has your supply chain been incorporated into how they're going to fulfillment? If you're creating a new product, I think, of course, it's going to touch every part of your organization. If you're building onto a new, even if, let's say, you're expanding the footprint, what you're going to offer that product, then sure, yeah, you're going to have a project there. Same thing. You have to make sure if it involves channel resellers, if it involves distribution into that channel, if there's depots involved for, say, parts, local shipping, then yeah, you're certainly going to have a project there out of that product.
So Jeffrey says that a product is multiple projects, path break down to maximize efficiency. Also, Jeffrey says, without a project manager, a product manager is buried in the tactical details and never gets to the real value of product management. So that's one of the distinctions that I see, and welcome Kay Friedson. From a product management point of view, project management looks more tactical and product management looks more strategic.
I would have to agree with that statement. There is a push on project management discipline to become more business aligned, more strategic in the enterprise, because eventually project management, I guess there's a camp that believes project management, it's now being incorporated into MBA programs. It's becoming a very common skill set. With that said, I do believe that product management is more strategic. I believe their relationships, especially in a larger enterprise, that their job is to focus on the business goals. Project management is aligned so often with IT, and product management is so often aligned with sales and marketing, that they have their influences and their relationships in different parts of the organization. So the product at the core, product management, yes, is business goals, strategy. How does this product align with the strategy of the organization? And project managers tactically have to figure out how they are going to deliver on the wish list process that was provided by the product managers. At the end of the day, project management, we're planning ourselves out of a job. We're executing so that we're not needed anymore. It's the nature of our job from project to project, a definitive start, definitive end. When we're done with that project, then you move on where that product manager is going
to
remain.
So that's a key distinction. I have to capture that. Project managers work themselves out of a job at project completion.
There's a whole other part to that. An efficient project manager will work themselves out of a job. A strong project manager is developing relationships in an organization, is adding value. They're looking outside of their project. They're not just getting heavy into the project management speak, but a strong project manager learns to step outside of the tactical, right, and understand a little bit more on how their project affects the resources across the organization, how their project fits into, say, the winter plan of the enterprise, right? What is this doing for the strategy? Project managers that can do that will always be asked back on to other projects. Project managers that simply make sure that they've checked the box of all the requests of the project manager, project managers that just simply worry about the standard triple constraint, hey, I got it in on time, it's a quality product, and we were within budget, I'm successful. That kind of project manager will find themselves looking for a job at the end of every project.
So Erica says that's a scary thought, that project managers are working themselves out of a job at completion. Jeffrey Anderson says that sadly, what he learned about project management came from a book by The Economist. He hates to admit it, but it was a good read. So I'm not understanding why he would apologize.
Exactly.
Asking him, what was that book? At Perfect Market is someone who's following is saying that they're lucky to have great project managers.
It's funny because from a project manager, it is great when you have a good product manager. Because as a project manager, it is terribly frustrating when product managers, let me back up for 1 second. Project managers are often seen as the gatekeepers. They're often seen as not being flexible. They're slow for change, right? And that's where the agile methodology came into play. But often when I speak with my colleagues, the problem that they say is poor requirements, poor understanding by the product manager, right? So when you have a product manager who has done their research, who knows what they want, who knows what the company needs, how it fits the goals, what the competition is doing, and what they need out of that product, and is able to explain that, that is a wonderful thing. That is a fun project to work on. When you have a product manager who says, and you ask, okay, well, what's the geographical scope? And they say, well, I'm not sure. What will it cost to go in EMEA? I don't know. Is there a market for it in EMEA? I mean, it gets very frustrating, and it just robs the confidence of the project team. So a good product manager from a project management standpoint is a wonderful thing to have.
Excellent. Jeffrey Anderson says, from The Economist Press, Guide to Project Management. It's a good read, and it's non-technical.
I also recommend The Scrappy Project Manager,
which I have right here. It's by Kimberly Weifling. Spoke at an in-person Silicon Valley product management event.
Oh, fantastic.
Question two is, often speed to market is a crucial aspect of product development. How do you feel the project management process enables that, or do you think it hinders it?
There are some really great books. Peter Taylor wrote one called The Lazy Project Manager. And
I like
Peter's great. He was recently interviewed on BBC in EMEA for the concept, and really it's lazy productivity. Essentially, work smarter, not harder. It's kind of a common approach, non-technical approach to project management. And I think there are more books, and I'll be working on one in the coming year as well, where I'm a firm believer that methodology, project management was actually put in play because of there was supposed to be the communication link between the geeky IT guy and the business. So project management, if they're not careful, has to be start moving in that direction with all of their jargon and methodology speak. They're going to start moving into that space. So we have to remember to keep it simple, keep it business-oriented, because at the end of the day, that's who our customer is, whether it's internal or client external, and make this applicable to product managers, the business, and sales, and everybody else that'll be a consumer of whatever we're doing.
I reword the question to be, how does project management enable or hinder speed to market? Does that capture?
Yeah, that's... I like Jeffrey. Jeffrey's my... I'm gonna have to,
we all like Jeffrey.
I'm going to have Jeffrey come along with me. He's a fan of this project management stuff. I like Jeffrey.
He's also a product manager thought leader.
Okay.
Although that's not a effective term, we respect it here.
You know, because it is interesting. Again, project management, as much as the Project Management Institute tries to standardize process, there is, like anything else, the interpretation by the actual project manager. You could have a project manager that follows things to the T, and when they implement the process, they could certainly slow down and put your project at risk when changes come up and there's risks or issues, they stall. Whereas you could have another project manager who may not be an quote-unquote agile project manager, but they have a certain agility about them and their approach. So they can accept change quickly. They can process and manage risk much more effectively. So I think the process, a lot of people in project management get focused on process, where it should be more on the talent that is running and implementing that process, because everything's garbage in, garbage out. And if you have a project manager who can't process things well, I don't care what methodology they're using, they can certainly be an impediment to that speed. And then my summation would be that product management slows up the process more than project management. If we want to stir the pot, I guess one could potentially, that there is a camp that I don't really subscribe to that notion. But I think for project management, right, you could have a poor project manager and it makes the project a disaster. If you have a poor product manager, it too could make it a disaster. So again, these two roles are so hand in hand that either one could really cause a problem.
I stirred the pot once by saying that project managers shouldn't really be doing any product management work at all, and vice versa. That got really people really grumpy.
But somebody has to do it.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest, there was a project client manager at the time, wasn't thrilled with my response, but we were supposed to kick off a project, but the product manager wasn't really digging in and providing details on what is our competition doing, what does the product look like. So I started to do that. So a few of the project management tasks got bumped late. And when asked what happened, I said, well, I took on a little bit more of the product manager role and took my eye off the ball, which caused a slight delay in some of the project management tasks. And yeah, same thing. It was a very grumpy manager for a few days.
Oh, and Jeff says, do project managers envy product managers?
Oh, do we envy product managers? I guess it depends on the organization and what they're being asked. I've worked with one of the computer OEMs, extremely fast growing, especially through 2009, where the economy, these guys were asked to run portfolios that you could have used another product manager, a couple interns, and their complete budget was removed to do any sort of market intelligence kind of work. And essentially the tool that was handed to them was a competitive website. So certainly in those scenarios, you envy the work that they have to do with the amount of support and tools actually provided. It's like trying to paint a picture, trying to do a classical art piece with an etch-a-sketch. You got a feel for the guys.
Jeffrey says that discipline, attention to detail, interface to development team, tactical proficiency, time resource management, in response to the greatest value add that a project manager can provide to you as the product manager.
Yeah, I think that attention to detail, yeah, that interface with the development team is really a key. Being able to translate, if you will, technical documents, technical responses into something that is meaningful to the business. Communication is probably the best skill and most important skill in my mind a project manager needs, because they need to be, not only do they have to be a good communicator, they need to be able to tailor their communication based on the audience they're talking with. But those things that he's listed are, I think, crucial in a project manager. Time and resource management. Again, that's where time and resource management is. That's the difference between a project manager who will work himself out of a job at the end of a project and one that will be brought on long term. One that simply manages resources according to their project, that's not a special project manager. A strong project manager will understand what other projects their team members are working on, what the priority of those projects are according to the business goals, and be able to effectively manage at that level. That's a strong project manager.
Jeffrey says, if you want to piss off your project manager, go directly to development.
Yeah.
So bypass them. That actually opens up a question for me that we haven't talked about, although you did mention Agile. In agile environment, does the project manager serve as a product owner?
No, in the agile environment, the project manager, so in traditional project management, the project manager is really gets this kind of owner, right? I own it, product manager owns the product. But as far as that initiative goes, the buck stops here with the PM, right? So they tend to drive things, people, resources more. In an agile environment, the PM becomes more of a facilitator. They really rely on the strengths of the resources. No, the product manager is probably even that much more important in an agile environment than in traditional project management, because they're the ones who are going to provide the direction. So because it's less traditional roles and responsibilities, like you're the PM, so you're supposed to do this, and you're IT, so you're supposed to do that. It really looks at, okay, who has the experience, the knowledge in that space, and okay, it's traditionally probably not your role, but in Agile, you're taking it on.
Debate we have all the time. Welcome, Diane Drumgold. She agrees that if you want to piss off your project manager, go directly to development. And Jeffrey Anderson says, of course, we can devolve into a product owner versus product management discussion. Yes, I thought you'd appreciate that, Jeffrey.
Oh, we all have a lot to say about that, too.
When you look at Agile discussions, they're more familiar with project managers than product managers. Specifically, they're developers discussing this issue.
Yeah, I have always been on the fringe of Agile. I'm not an Agile expert, but being in an open source space right now, Agile is all we do. And I got to be honest, when I speak with them, product managers, I'm trying to think, right now, we don't have an active product manager on our project. I pull them in at crucial points of the project, but I think it would be better if they were there. So I guess in speaking with a lot of some of the colleagues and learning more and more about Agile, I think it's definitely an area that product managers have to get into, is starting to insert themselves more into Agile projects, because their voice is needed. It really is, especially in that environment.
Jeffrey asked whether project managers are synonymous with Scrum Masters.
Are project managers synonymous
yep.
with Scrum Masters? Again, kind of being on the fringe of the whole Agile world and Scrum being, a derivative of Agile. My understanding is, yes, they are. Again, kind of a facilitator, not a dictator, making sure that the right people are at the table, the right resources. They're still ushering the project along, but they're not as much dictator, do as I say, I sit at the head of the table, I'm the one voice. They really are that facilitator, organizer of the project. So, yes, they are synonymous with one another. That's one of those that I'm going to pursue that in early 2012, is to become a certified Scrum Master, so I can, next time we talk, I can tell you all the ins and outs of that.
Well, that opens up another discussion about certification. We're getting totally off topic.
That's fine. I like this. This is good.
But these are issues that we discuss in product management circles, whether we need certification as product managers. And really what it looks to me is that the profession of product management is younger than project management. So we don't have all of the infrastructure in place equal to what is available for project management, including certification, including understanding of the parameters of what we're responsible for.
Even within the project management world, there is a debate as to whether or not the certification really even is valuable. I know in the enterprise, when my firm speaks with potential clients, they always want to know how many of your PMs are certified. Will a certified PM be working on my effort? And when I talk with people candidly, what does that mean to you? They usually can't explain anyway. They don't really. Isn't that the standard? So what certification is really worth other than maybe reassurance? I've seen project managers that couldn't manage hot dog stand. And then I've seen some that are not certified handle some of the, actually one of my mentors, a program manager, was not certified at all. And we called her the fixer. This is how I met her. When HP had a lot of issues with some of their larger clients, they would call her in and she would come in and get this project and the entire program back on track and bring it to success. She had zero certification. So does certification help? Of course. I think it adds validity to the discipline. That'll be the ongoing debate of the decade, whether or not internally within your group arguing whether or not they even need the certification.
So you're saying the certification adds validity to the discipline as a whole, but it doesn't necessarily vet the individual certified holder.
Yes, that's exactly what I said. I liked your answer better. This guy, PM Foundations, he was one of my PM chat fellows here in North Carolina.
Welcome to Evan Wolf. He's saying green is only one cultural or civic value. Everyone has a duty to apply those values to scope and process choices. The greatest value add that a project manager can provide to you. Way ahead of us. Yeah. Thank you, Evan, for pushing us on. With the green sustainability movement growing stronger each year, to edit it to get it in here, whose responsibility is it to make sure products are consistent in this space?
Curious to know, apply those values to scope and process choices. So scope, okay. Process. This is the downside on the 140. So I'm curious to know his take on scope and process choice? My personal belief is that there's two things. One, if the enterprise from the top is not, they don't value the green movement, then you are going to have a hard time at the project level trying to implement green or sustainable solutions. If it doesn't add to the time or the cost, and you can provide more sustainable green packaging and shipping options and whatever the case may be, how you manage your project. So if you're using virtual meetings versus flying all around the world, you can do those things. But if you really want to make an impact and have a green product, I think that needs to come from the top. It's got to be a core value of the organization for that to work. I do believe project manager at a project level can always challenge sustainability of, say, a partner, right? So in vendor selection, I always ask them about their sustainability efforts, and they get bonus points if they are a green-friendly, facilities are optimized, if they have LEED certified facilities, then they'll get a bonus. Those are things at a project management level you can do regardless of the enterprise, their acceptance or their adoption of sustainable green efforts. So on a project level, there are certainly some things you can do. Big impact would come from, obviously, the top.
So Sam Foundation says, I think the product manager, they own the way the product works. And Jeffrey Gander says, this one can be a bit slippery. I think I'll exchange. Agree that leadership comes from the top, though.
I think people lean on leadership from the top a little too often. But the fact that Jeffrey points it out, it's kind of a slippery area that not everyone's bought into, and people are overworked. And if you're asking them to do something that not everyone's bought into yet, then they're really not going to give it the attention, the effort. You're going to have every project has its challenge of getting buy-in. It's change, right? It's naturally a change. It's naturally something new. So we always have a challenge of buy-in. Now you're going to try and ask them about this slippery space, like Jeffrey mentioned. That's one of those things that you really do need some sort of top-down support on, because until there's an enterprise or corporate stamp or approach to sustainability, then you're kind of just this rogue PM trying to be this green PM, and if the rest of the organization doesn't buy in, you're going to have a tough time. Again, project managers at the project level can certainly do some things around cutting down on. We're notorious for printing out documents to maybe putting them up in virtual spaces and doing virtual meetings versus all this travel that is often. For the past 6 years, I have worked for two huge global services organizations. Right now, I'm in a global marketing group, and prior to that, it was global services, sales, and marketing development of new products. Not once did I have to travel. Every project has always had at least 10 countries with core team members. Extended could have been 50 countries, and not once did I have to leave Raleigh, North Carolina. So you can make it sustainable and green if you choose to manage the project effectively.
Jeffrey says it can be tough to achieve if it costs more or takes longer. Adding green, business is business. Unless there's a payoff, it's hard to justify. And Anthem, thank you, said being a product manager is like being a parent. Being a project manager is like being a foster parent.
That's funny.
So Erica says, that's funny. Product manager is parent. Project manager is foster parent. Rich Mironoff has written about how product management is like being a parent. He did a blog post specifically about that.
At the end of the day, both a product manager and a project manager have families to feed, so you can be sure that they're working their tails off to make it right.
Oh, yeah. So Evan Wolf says, still on this green question, not just green, values include legal compliance, safety, political worker empowerment, work-life balance. So by green, he's extending it to mean sustainability in all areas.
Yep, and that's definitely where, especially when you get into vendor selection, you're standing up a new warehouse, a new supply chain. Those are definitely things that you can certainly have a major impact on, especially when it's a third party. You need the enterprise internally. You need your enterprise to make a statement. Sustainability is a core value of ours, and we want it to be in all of our products. Kind of like you'll see it all the time with computer manufacturers, right? For last year, there was a huge play on green monitors and all this good stuff. But it's much easier when you're passing the buck to a third party to say, I want you guys to have green facilities. I want you guys using friendly trucks in your shipping, and I want to know what shipping legs you do and all that good stuff. It certainly helps if you can use a third party in product.
Question 5, which is project managers are very focused on requirements. For example, what's in and what's out and the scope. However, markets shift. What is your perspective on their ability to accept and manage change? What is the perspective on project managers' ability to
manage change or be change agents. And I had tweeted at some point about product managers being change agents. Put it in a question. Are product managers change agents? I got responses. It was not humorous. Of course product managers are change agents. Why would I even be asking?
Nice assumption, Cindy.
Well, sarcasm doesn't translate in text or tweet. Jeffrey Anderson says, if anything, project managers are used to shifting requirements, directions, and handle with aplomb. Evan Wolf says, the duty to do the right thing, the moral course, lies in every participant in the product development process. Thank you, Evan. I agree.
That's a really good statement, isn't it?
And he is actually local. He's launching...
Local for you.
Local for me, yes. He's an editor at SkypeJournal.com, and he's launching Hook Flash. So see, if you make some great statements, we will plug your description.
So again, Jeffrey's point goes to the discussion of certification. It goes towards the actual project manager. The reason that Agile really came about was because traditional waterfall was not seen as being change friendly, which I think is because a lot of project managers stick to the script, they stick to the process, and they're unable to be the change agent that they need to be, right? So certification, title of being a project manager, does not make them successful. So that is one of the biggest complaints that I hear from clients, from fellow project managers, is that our ability to accept change is pretty poor. So again, I love Jeffrey. I'm going to take him on a road show with me. The next time I have a client, I'm going to get him on a Skype call with us. I have to be honest that overall, project management profession has been hit pretty hard in this space as not being very accepting of change. Again, when it comes to being a change agent, this is where that partnership of a strong product manager who tends to have the good relationships with sales and marketing, and then the project manager who tends to have some good relationships with all things operational, if you will, IT, business transformation. Between the two of them, it should be able to garner the support needed that comes with every project, because every project is essentially a change.
Because you can't be a change agent in a silo.
Yeah, and I think what your question was, and they said, well, yeah, a product manager is a change agent. All because you are in the role of product manager or in the role of project manager that calls for you to be a change agent does not mean that you are one, or at least an effective one. Project managers, yes, we are there to manage change within a project to make sure that, one, it maintains scope and cost and time, but also process change. Is there value? How does this affect the enterprise, this project, the resources outside of just this project? Being able to quickly capture the need for the change, the impact of the change, and then casting the vision across the organization, that's a skill, and not everyone does it effectively. But while you're in the role, it certainly doesn't mean that you are an agent, or at least a successful one.
So Jeffrey says, agile doesn't mean faster, it means ability to adjust course to changing environment. Yes.
Yeah. The mindset is different on an agile project, and that's why I'm saying traditional waterfall could be like agile. It's kind of like a mindset that gets in people's head that says, well, you're waterfall, so don't manage it with that acceptance of change and waterfall. I'm working some agile projects now, as mentioned, and these guys are pretty strict when I ask for a change. It's the same exact response that I get from waterfall. Okay, why do you need the change? What problem are you trying to solve? Okay, we'll get back to you tomorrow on whether or not. It's not like they just say, yes, we'll go ahead and change it because we're agile. They have the same, tell me why, problem you're solving. Okay, give us a day or so to go back and check out the impact. So it's so much of a mindset thing. And then the second piece, agile, because it's an iterative process, that's really where it comes into play, right? So in an agile project, you're trying to take chunks of a product, a process, you've taken a smaller piece and you're delivering it to the business or your customer quickly, and then you have some follow-on, right? So there's a lot more releases, where the traditional waterfall looks to do the whole kit and caboodle, right? They want to do it all. So when you do the change, it's affecting a longer timeline. So it's not that the acceptance of change, it's just think in Agile, when you're delivering smaller chunks of the overall project or product or process quickly, you're seeing results. You're seeing tangible results of all the efforts and discussion. So people believe, again, mindset, that things are happening quickly. It works very well in software and things like that, but there are just some spots that Agile doesn't work, but the mindset will still work.
Right. Well, it came out of software. I mean, it was definitely a reaction to what wasn't working in software development, as well as the developers standing up and saying, we can manage this better without the managers getting in our way.
Yeah. I saw a tweet go across. I'd have to find it and maybe share it. Google is very well known for iterative process, for being very agile. You know, they find something, they get it out there. If it works, great. Then they'll continue enhancing it. If not, they just kill it and move on. They've said, there was a report that went out that Google is only 34% successful when it comes to traditional success measurements on projects. So
that still may be high, though. I've been looking at statistics on how often innovation is successful and how often new products are successful. And I think 34% is too high.
Yeah, I guess the point is really it's not a silver bullet. Waterfall is their numbers right around there, 40-something percent success rate on projects. One of the guys did a guest post for us, and said was one of his key points were projects are brand new initiatives. You're paving new ground. It is complex. Ben Franklin, any inventor, has through the history, has never nailed it on the first shot.
Right. That's why there's a trend in San Francisco about failing. There's a fail conference, and that seems to be, I was thinking about that. I think it's great to encourage people to fail because sometimes as a product manager, I feel like I'm failing constantly, and you have to keep going at it. I think it's good to have permission to fail, but you have to learn from the failure. It can't be failure by itself.
Yeah, so some good lessons learned, and that's, again, supposed to be a function of the project management of strong lessons learned, why did we fail, what did we do, what was good, what was bad, how do we do it better next time.
So project managers are tasked with the debriefing, and is there a name for that process?
We just call it lessons learned. It's a view on everything. It's a view on how the project manager managed that project. You look at it from all angles. What was the support of external stakeholders? How were the requirements? A good project manager will host a session after each phase of a project, release of a project. They won't just wait until the overall end of the project. The idea is to catch things while they're fresh in your mind. But that's really one of the most forgotten aspects, I think, of project managers. If I talk to them more often than not, I ask, how'd your lessons learned go? They will say, well, the whole team was disbanded and moved on to new stuff before we had a chance to do it. But it's one of the most valuable things a project manager can do for the enterprise and a product manager. Again, that project manager is probably moving on. It would be nice if they can hand a debrief of, here's what we learned out of this effort and how you can do better next time.
Thank you for joining us.
What's next week's topic?
Next week, we're talking about building innovative products with Jason Harding-Smith, who is Vice President of Product Management at Bright Ideas.
Oh, nice.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you so much.